Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Fight of faith. Amen. So as we turn there tonight, we're going to read verse 12 and 13. Amen. And here's what it says. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Jesus Christ who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Now we've been teaching this series for a number of weeks here in on Wednesday nights, but also at the beginning of the year, I started this series over in the Healing Center on Wednesday mornings. And so when my time ran out on that, because Pastor Debbie was doing our wonderful prayer series on Sunday nights, when we finished that, I just continued the good fight of faith because I believe it's important for us to understand. So here's a few things that we've learned thus far. That the good fight of faith is the only fight that the believer is called to fight. According to the Word of God, the good fight of faith is the only fight the believer in the New Testament is called to fight. And really, it is a faith fight, not a devil fight. Or it is a fight that the believer finds themselves in to stay in faith. And the word fight there just implies the strenuous effort that it takes the believer to stay in faith. Having to know that it also, it means this. We found this out. In other words, it's the stand of faith that the believer must take upon the Word of God. Amen. And so our fight is really the fight to stay in faith or the stand of faith. Why is that important? Because that's how we win. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in Jesus Christ. So, in other words, the world in which we live, as well as the enemy who is the god of this world system, Satan, he opposes us. He's a real enemy, but we know as believers he is a defeated foe. He has been defeated by Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, his victory becomes our victory. But it's our faith in him, our faith in Christ and what he's done, our stand of faith that causes us to win. And what the enemy tries to do is sway us, move us, or throw us from our faith. But it's our faith in Christ is the victory that causes us to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. So the other thing where we are at in this is notice that in these two verses, I'll bring it to your attention again, that you either have the phrase the good confession or confession mentioned three times, amen, in these two verses. And then it gives us the example of Jesus Christ and how he witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. How many know what this is saying? It's illustrating how we fight the good fight of faith and actually how we lay hold of or possess eternal life is through our good confession. Just like Jesus had a good confession, what was his good confession before Pontius Pilate? He said, I am the King of the Jews. Amen. I've come to bear witness or to tell the whole world of truth. And he says, I am the Son of God. And so he never moved or swayed from who God said he was. And he boldly proclaimed that even unto death. And that is the good confession. That is how you fight. This is illustrating. This is how we fight the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith is fought one way is through our good confession, and this is how we lay hold or take possession of eternal life. Amen. Praise God. So the good confession or your confession of faith is your stand of faith and how you will not only lay hold on eternal life, but possess the will of God. You know, the will of God should be very important to us. And we know, how do we know the will of God? Well, the Word of God is His will. The Word of God is the will of God. Or you can say it like this, the Word of God reveals the will of God for us. Whatever God's Word tells us is not a mystery. He's put it there so we could know it. So the will of God is God wants us to be able to know it and walk in it. And the good news is you must understand that the good confession has everything to do with whether you will ever fulfill the will of God in your life or not. Imagine that, but it's so true. So we talked last week about this. We defined the word confession. Biblically speaking, there's a number of different types of confession the Bible talks about, but primarily it talks about confession. This word means to agree with or to say the same thing as. So in other words, it actually is saying to agree with or say the same thing that God says. In other words, we are to agree with God. We're to say the same thing that God says, either about Himself or about us. Whatever God says, He expects us to say the same thing about Him. But He also says that whatever He says about us, He expects us to say the same thing. Confession means to agree with or to say the same thing. So that God says. So this is why it's so important that we personally know what the Word of God says. So tonight's message is, we're going to entitle it, The Fundamentals of Confession. The Fundamentals of Confession. Well, a lot of times people want something really deep. Amen. Praise God. Well, let me just tell you this. Before we ever swim in the deep end, we always start out in the shallow end. Praise the Lord. I remember a story of a preacher telling the story of his son. He had a pool at his house, and he was telling the story of his son, how his little boy, which was about 5 or 6 years old that time, he had been bragging on him and said, you know, I've taught, he had to swim, and he can really swim now. And so, and what he was telling his dad, who was the preacher, and so they were at this house, and you know, he was implying that my little one don't need swimmers and all this kind of stuff because I've taught him how to swim. He can swim. He said, we'll just see. So he just took him by the seat of his pants and threw him in the deep end of the pool. And he said he floundered around like a dying fish. And his son, panicking, he looked at him and he said, if I were you, I'd get in there and get him. And so his son had to jump in and save his kid. So the point is, you know, a lot of times we think that we're ready for the deep end. Hallelujah. Or we want something more than what we're ready for. But the truth is, we have to learn to swim but first, and sometimes we need to be in a safe place. The point that I'm making is, when I said the fundamentals of confession, I can hear the thoughts of some people, oh boy, we just going to do something, you know, basic. Well, you know the word fundamental, you know what the word fundamental means? It means basic but important. Basic but important. And I can tell you, what I'm going to teach you tonight is not only basic, but it is so important that you're going to use it for the rest of your life. So it's about as deep as we probably going to need to get, because if you're going to use it in everyday life and everything you do, then how many know that you better have a hold on that? You know, I think about this a lot of times. Right now, it's the playoffs for the NBA. And whether you're a sports fan or not, you know, one of the things that you see that the players do is they warm up. And you know what they do in the warm-ups? They do the fundamentals. They do the basic things, but the important things, like dribbling. We take dribbling for granted, but once you watch an NBA player dribble, don't take it for granted. It may be the dribbling process may be basic, but it's very important. And they can dribble better than you can walk, most of us. Praise the Lord. So the point is that even in sports, people realize that if you're going to be good in athletics, you're going to have the fundamentals down. And they always work on the fundamentals. So we translate that to our Christian walk, and it just means this: the fundamentals are things that you're going to have to use day in and day out, or you will not be successful. And here's what we find, like golf. I like golf. You find out that the golfers that, you know, they that have hiccups, the first thing they do, they got coaches. Now, they may make millions and millions of dollars, but they got coaches. Now, you say, well, they got coaches because they can afford it. No, they got coaches because they want to get better. Yeah. And they sit there and watch them, and they always go back to start with the basics or the fundamentals, because usually you find out that it's something fundamentally little off that makes a big difference. So tonight we're going to talk about the basics of confession, or the fundamentals actually of confession, and see how really important this is. It's basic, but it's very important. So your confession of faith is really not a small or a minor subject. It's really a life-changing subject, because it's how you actually got saved. Think about it. Turn with me to Romans 10, 9, and 10, and look at this one moment. Your confession of faith is how you got saved. So it may be basic, but it's very important. It's not insignificant, it's very significant. Here's what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says: is that you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession, everybody say confession. Confession is made unto salvation. Now, what does confession mean? Confession means to agree with, or to say the same thing that God says. In other words, you call Jesus what Almighty God calls Jesus, the Son of God, Lord and Savior and Master. And when you do that, your confession results in your salvation. When you believe that with your heart and confession is made into your mouth, that is exactly how you got saved. So confession, as well as, is how you fight the good fight of faith. Because when the devil comes to you and says, well, how do you know you're saved? You just answer, you know, I hope you can answer. And say, Jesus is my Lord. I've made him my Lord. I've asked him into my heart. There's not a believer in here in this church that has been coming to this church any length of time that should not know how you're saved and why you're saved. Amen. Or how you could tell somebody, if your child came up to you and say, Mama, I want to be saved, but I don't know how to be saved. You should know how. This scripture right here gives us the precedence of it. But there's many others, and by coming to this church, if you've heard me teach for 6 months or more, then you know, you should know that. If you're not, you're not paying attention. But you should pay attention. And you shouldn't just say, well, we leave that important stuff to the pastor. No, God's left it unto all this important stuff for all of us. It's all of our responsibility to know this. Thank you for the one yep and the great enthusiasm tonight. Praise God. Amen. So your confession, I know you get it, and I know you know how. Amen. So confession, or your confession of faith, is not an insignificant thing. It's the thing that kept you out of hell and actually got you into heaven. So confession, whether we realize it or not, is a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law, a spiritual law. And a spiritual law means it works the same all the time for every person anywhere. That's why it's a law. Gravity is a law. It works the same way for every person everywhere all the time. You jump off the building, you are going to fall to the ground. Praise God. So make the jump 3 foot, not 33 feet. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lest we may be coming to see you in the hospital. Praise the Lord. But confession is a spiritual law. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Praise God. So the law of confession is what brings you into the reality of salvation and eternal life and every other blessing of God. If you can't say it, you won't possess it. This is why Kenneth E. Hagin said this. He said, the confession of our faith is one of the most important, significant, and valuable teachings in all the Word of God. And I concur with him. Think about it. Did you know that Christianity itself is built upon the confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the divine Son of God? It's totally built upon that itself. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. We'll see this really clearly. And Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then they said, some say you are John the Baptist, other Elijah, or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Then here's the important question. He said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now notice Jesus' response here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood, or that means man, has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So God is the one who gave him this revelation knowledge. And he says, and I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, in other words, the rock is the revelation knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The rock is not Peter. The rock is the revelation knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. That knowledge is of who Jesus is what God builds his church upon. And he says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This is why Christianity is sometimes called the Great Confession. Did you know that? Sometimes Christianity is known as called the Great Confession. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. I'll be reading this from the Rotherham translation. It says, attentively consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus. Amen. So the Great Confession, amen, of the Great Confession is, who are we saying Jesus is? Well, we should be saying, if we're going to say the same thing that God says, we're going to say he is the Son of God. He is the Christ. Christ means Messiah, or the Anointed One. It means Messiah in the Old Testament Hebrew. It means Anointed One, New Testament Christ. So he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Great Confession springs from a divinely granted revelation of who Jesus really is. The Christ, the Son of the living God, the one and only true Savior. So this revelation and confession that Jesus is the Christ is the belief on which Christianity is built. Christianity is built upon this. This makes it different than any other religion. As a matter of fact, it's not really a religion, it's a relationship. So our revelation must be accompanied by confession. Our confession of faith in Jesus Christ. And this is what this is telling us. And then upon our confession of Jesus Christ, we too, like Peter, receive a brand new identity and a brand new destiny. An identity in Christ and a destiny that's brand new because he has become our Lord and Savior. How many know we're translated from the kingdom and the authority of darkness and translated unto the kingdom of God's dear Son? We go from being sinners to being saints, from being in darkness to light, from the children of Satan to the children of God. Amen. How many know that will take you to a brand new destiny, that you go from hell to heaven? Come on. How many know it's a change in destiny? But the reason there's a change in destiny, because there's a change in identity. And the moment you and I make Jesus Christ the Lord and our Savior, I don't have time to teach you tonight, but we get in Christed, which means we change identity. It's we are not who we used to be. You have a natural identity, but now you take on a brand new spiritual identity, one in Christ. When God, that means that when God sees you, He sees you in Christ. You have the same identical life and nature that the Son of God has, and you have a brand new identity. Amen. Identity is, it means that it, identity, it just means who you are. So who you are has changed. You may still have a natural identity, which you do, but you got a brand new spiritual identity. And that spiritual identity is what gets us, not because we're in Christ, gets us into heaven and gets us into all that God wills for us in Christ Jesus. Think about this as vital and important. When we go back to Romans 10, 9 and 10, what does it say? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. With a heart man believes and is made righteous, and with the confession, and with that mouth confession is made unto salvation. Think about this. It's vital and important that repentance is. It is not the confession of our sins that save us, but rather our confession of the Lord of the Lord Jesus Christ that does. Now, I'm not discounting repentance and the confession of our sins. I am not discounting that at all. But that you could do that to your blue in the face, but until you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're still not born again. So it's not enough just to repent and ask God to forgive you. It's upon the Lord, the confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, we do need to repent, and that means we turn from our sin, but it really means repentance means to turn from and turn to. So you're not turning from and just staying there. You're actually turning from your sin, and you're turning to the Savior, and you're making Him your Savior. You're asking Him to forgive your sins, but see, it's through the confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ that we actually are saved. Do you get that? Praise the Lord. So this is how important that confession actually is unto our lives. Let's look at a few other things that's important tonight. The Great Confession was the foundation for the early church. In other words, what is the Great Confession? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This Great Confession was the foundation for the early church, and it has never changed. And it is still upon this rock, this revelation knowledge of truth of who Jesus is, that He is building His church, and the gates of hell cannot stand up to its advance. That's good news. So one of the most fundamental things in your Christian faith is, listen, your initial and your continual confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. When you do, you are saying and you are agreeing that He is your Savior and Lord. But you're really saying so much more. You're saying that He is the victor and that He is the supreme authority over your life. And that opens the door to the victory, the blessing, and all that God wills for His children. Remember what confession means. It means to agree with or to say the same thing that God says. So to say the same thing that God says about Him over your life, and to say the same thing about who He says He's made you and what He's given you over your life is what you're to be confessing, is what you're to be saying. You need to be saying who God says He is. You say that is who He is over your life, and what He has made you and says about you, that is what you must learn to say about you. In other words, you are confessing not only who God is, but who He's made you. And so you're not saying, God, I'm Chris Morgan. He already knows that. But He's waiting for you to make confessions of faith, or your confession of not only His lordship over you, but what that means and what that has provided for you. And I'm going to give you some examples of that in just a moment so that we can do that together. This is why you call Him your Savior and Lord, but also you call Him your healer. You call Him your deliverer. You call Him your provider. You call Him your peace, your protector, and your way maker. In other words, everything that He says about, how many know the Bible, the Old Testament, calls Him the master of breakthrough? Well, all of us at times in our life, we need a breakthrough in our life. You ever heard a person say, well, I just need a breakthrough? Well, He is the master or the Lord of the breakthrough. And if we would call Him that, He would manifest Himself as that. But too many times what we do is we think too small. And when we think too small, we either say nothing or say the wrong thing. We say things like this, poor, pitiful old me. I never get the blessing. I never get the break that everybody else gets. You know, I really need God to move. God, I really need You to move. But where are You, God? Where are You, God? And then you call three or four people and say, well, you know what? I believe and trust in Him. But you pray for me too, because, you know, it just seems if He don't come through, that I'm going to be, what do you mean He don't come through? He's already told you He will come through, but He's waiting for you to believe that He is the master of the breakthrough. He is the one that's going to come through for you. Amen. And you need to call Him everything you need Him to be for you that He says He already is. So that means if you need finances, call Him your provider, because He's not El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai, Almighty God. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. Amen. You need healing, call Him your healer. Find scripture that lets you know that's His will for Him to work in your life that way. And then receive that. We all have to live this the same way. See, a lot of times people say, well, Pastor, you know, Pastor never has any problem. Pastor has the same thing. He faces the same things you face. Listen, I may be anointed to preach it, but I'm no more anointed to live it than you are. We all have to live it the same way. Hallelujah. But I can tell you what helps us to live it is we hear some anointed preaching that inspires us, that imparts faith to us, because how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I know what your life is like because I live it. I just live it on a different platform, on a higher platform many times because I got... But what I'm saying is, you live like I do in a world that's fallen, that's always pulling on you, that's always, you hear negative things and all those things. You feel the negativity. You hear the negativity. And so this is why you need to come to a place like this where you're going to hear the Word of God that's going to impart faith, inspire you, and teach you how to fight the good fight of faith and leave built up and change, standing over and above what the world is, because you're learning to walk in God and fight the good fight of faith and possess the things that God says belongs to you. Hallelujah. So you call Him what He already is. If you want, listen, everything that God is, He's supposed to be personal to you. If it's going to work, it's going to have to be personal. It can't be, you know, God don't have, you know, I'm not trying to be funny, God don't have stepchildren. He only has children. Do you understand? So in other words, you're not grandfathered in because your mama or daddy or somebody you know is saved. You have to have your own personal faith in Jesus Christ. And like I've taught many times, everybody comes to a place of a faith crisis where they realize that, wait a minute, even if I've been going to church, then I have to have my own personal faith. It's no longer, I can't just get by with my mama's faith or my daddy's faith or my grandmama's faith or somebody else's faith. It becomes a reality that just because somebody else got faith, I got to realize that that's not getting the job done in my life anymore. I've got to have my own personal faith. That means I have to have, begins with, my own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And from that place, everything that he is, he wants to become a personal, not just a personal savior, but he wants to be a personal healer. He wants to be a personal deliverer. He wants to be a personal financier or provider. And the list goes on. Everything he declares he is, he wants that to be personal to you. That's how much he loves us and how close he wants to be to us. But the truth is, until you hear that, you think that he is like the God in the pie in the sky. He's the God of the celestial heights. Honey, he is the God of the celestial heights, but he wants to be a personal God and Savior. He doesn't want you to worship him from far off. He may be there, but this is why we bow our heads as believers to pray, because although he is in heaven, he lives here by the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why we bow our heads, because we're looking to him, so to speak. See, he's as close as the mention of his name. See, that changes the paradigm and makes him, instead of the God somewhere far off, to the God that we walk with day in and day out. It doesn't lessen this. It makes that more real, because now he's here and he lives in us. We become the temples of the Holy Spirit. And so your confession makes it personal. That's what I'm getting at. And faith's confession always precedes reality. In other words, until you call him Lord and Savior, he won't be. He will be as far as he is, but he won't be to you. And the same is true about healer or provider, any of those things. It has to be a personal confession, because confession always precedes reality. So your faith lives and flourishes as your mouth is continually confessing the word and your mouth is continually filled with praise. Let me give you some examples for that from the scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, Amplified Translation. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. See, that's how we fight the good fight of faith, by holding fast our confession of faith. The devil's always trying to get you to say he's less than something than God says he is. What are you saying? Notice, this is why I said, your faith life flourishes as your mouth continually, everybody say continually, continually confesses God's word, and your mouth continually is filled with his praise. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Praise, confession and praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips. That, what is the fruit of your lips? Our confession. Giving thanks unto his name. We're to not only with our mouth say who God is, who he has made us, but we're to praise and thank him and confess him as all these things to us. So our good confession not only causes us to fight the good fight of faith and remain in faith, but also actually advances us in faith through our confession of faith. You know, you will never rise in your faith life above your confession. I will say it again. You will never rise in your faith up in your faith life above your confession of faith. In other words, your faith will rise or fall to the level of your confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Too few people realize that. You say, well, Pastor Chris, you know, I've said this before. I'm going to keep on saying it. You get saved and you start realizing that confession, faith's confession, is fundamental to your faith walk. So you learn that. And so one of the things you learn quick. You know, you say, well, Pastor Chris, I stopped saying the wrong things. I've stopped cursing. Well, good. That's wonderful. You should. And I've stopped saying the wrong things. I've stopped complaining and murmuring. You should, because the gripers get the vipers. You should stop cursing. You should stop saying the wrong things, murmuring and complaining. You should stop doing all that. But you should start saying what God says about Himself and what God says about you. That is your confession of faith. So it's not just enough to stop saying the wrong thing. It's learning to say the right thing. And until you do that and realize that it's that confession is fundamental to your faith, but it's a continual confession. It is just as continual as the basketball player goes out and dribbles every time he gets on the court. He don't just shoot. They blow the whistle when they walk. If you know what walking is, you're supposed to dribble in order to move the ball, advance the ball, or pass it, one or the other. But you can't just walk with it. It'll take extra steps, or it turns over the ball. Well, we a lot of times have a lot of turnovers in our Christian walk because we fail to make a continual confession, or fundamentals are we're not sharp on. So one of the things that we need to do is start learning these fundamentals and using them. Or if one reason the Spirit of God would lead me to do these things the same way I would have to deal with my own self, you could let some of these important, basic, fundamental, basic but important things slip. You think because you know them, that equates to doing them. But honey, knowing them and doing them are two different things. You can say, I know confession is important. I know what confession is, faith is. I know all that. But and still never say anything, and your faith never advances. Because it's what you do with what you know that changes you. Amen. I'll say it again. So a good confession not only causes us to fight the good fight. See, a lot of times people say, well, I'm way beyond that. I'm way beyond that, Pastor Chris. No. You just look at your life. You're not way beyond that. We all may want other things, but if we're not doing the fundamentals, if we're not doing this, we're not advancing in the faith. And we're not possessing. This is how listen, you can't get no more important than fighting the good fight of faith. That's the only fight we're called to fight. And it's through our good confession that not only we do fight the good fight of faith, but we also lay hold on eternal life and possess everything willed by God. So it can't get to more important than this. So I'll say it again. I'm almost finished. Look at your neighbor and say, this is amazing. Praise the Lord. So our good confession, amen, not only causes us to fight the good fight of faith and remain in faith, but also actually advances us in faith through our confession of faith. F.F. Bosworth said, nothing will establish and build your faith as quickly as the confession of who you are and what you have in Christ. In other words, confession always precedes possession. And if you're unwilling to confess it, you will be unable to possess it. A simple truth many never grasp is, if we're unwilling to confess it, you won't possess it, for confession precedes possession. So what we're going to do tonight in closing, see, I told you it was pretty amazing. You've been fast listeners tonight. Oh, I'm just on time. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we sure do appreciate everyone online tonight being online as well. But tonight we're going to stand. I'm going to invite everyone to stand. And we're going to make some confession or faith confessions tonight. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Maybe what you should do is take a screenshot of this. And maybe in a weeks to come, we'll have some handouts that make it really easy for us to do these on a daily basis. If you come to Healing Center, we have those things. But it would probably be good I've been encouraged by some wonderful folk to say, Pastor, you probably need a handout on Wednesday night. This will probably be helpful. Amen. No matter if you know them, it's still what you do with them that makes a difference. I mean, we say, well, I've taken notes, and good, this is why I tell you to take notes, and then open them back up and go back over them. I got that paper somewhere, Pastor Chris, but I don't know where it is. Well, let me give you another one right now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So join with us online as well to make these confessions of faith. Let's say it together. And you'll notice that we have actually scriptural references where this is found in the Word of God. So what are we doing? We're saying the same thing that God says either about Himself or about us. And in this case, it's about us. Because if you're unwilling to say this, you can't be this. You may be, listen, this in positionally, but in order to make it an experience and alive, it needs to be in your heart and in your mouth. So let's say this together. I am a child of God. I am a new creation. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have eternal life. I have the God kind of faith. I have the love of God in my heart. I have authority over the powers of darkness. I hear the voice of God and are led by His Spirit. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have, and I can do what God says I can do. Thank you, Jesus. I am more than a conqueror because of you. Let's lift our hands and thank Him here tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, Betsy, help me tonight. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. This is what we believe. This is why we confess it. And we thank you that our confession always precedes our possession. And because if we can confess it, we can possess it. And we can possess it because you said it. And we can have it when we agree with it and believe with our heart and say with our mouth. And this is why confession is so important, and this is how we fight the good fight of faith. You may be seated tonight before we dismiss in the presence of God. Thank you. Tonight, before we go, we've made this wonderful confession, but I'd like to give everyone the opportunity that if they could be those that have never made actually Jesus the Lord of their life. You know, one of the most important things is heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians praying. We assemble as a church for two purposes. Number one, to disciple the believers, and that's what you just got tonight, and to win the lost. So that means this, that if we're doing our part as a church, our doors are open, and we invite people, and people come, and we give people that opportunity, because everybody that comes are not necessarily have ever been born again. You might have been like me and grew up in church and didn't know you needed to be born again, didn't know how to be saved. You thought, like I did maybe, and this is my own testimony, for 24 years of my life, I grew up and went to church and thought because I did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things. Thought because I shook the preacher's hand and was water baptized as a child. Thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me that I was right with God. But in 1986, at the age of 24, on March the 30th, I heard a message that I realized that I had come to God my own way. And I had my own version of God. And even though I had believed in God, I had never done what God said to do with His Son in order to be right with Him. And that is confess Him as Lord and Savior. Remember, it's our confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ that saves us. That day, I not only repented of my sins, but I invited Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And that's what I'm inviting you to do today. If there are, peradventure, there's anyone here today that have never made Jesus their personal